As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, well, the sun is arising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's still a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Thursday, December the 9th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely not alone, but you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. To be a part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Big shout out once again, as we love to do each and every morning, to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM, Lompoc, California, AM 1710, Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. All of our contact information can be found at becomevocallocal.com, as well as our daily chat room. And you can also find the archives stored conveniently at the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. Precious metals this morning rebound from profit-taking. Treasuries and mortgage rates climb. The United Nations COP16 receives their can-the-con in Cancun. Like to hear that. Treaty is unlikely. Opt for global-to-local action plans. That's where they're going next. Interstate commerce, the Commerce Clause, Credit Mobilier, King Steam. Yeah, we'll cover all that today as well. And we'll take your calls throughout the broadcast. It's back into our market report this morning. Again, now Thursday, December the 9th, 2010. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time finds gold trading up $6.20 at $1,387.50. Recovering from that big sell-off here earlier in the week. Silver up 30 cents at $28.66. Platinum up $7 at $1,686 an ounce, and palladium up $17 at $741 a troy ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, really good spread developing, $1,379.90 for a low, $1,393.80 for a high. Not quite in the 1,400 territory yet, but we are close. But at $1,387.50, your gold is still up $259.70 year-to-year for a 23.02% return on your investment in ARM, that beautiful, precious, noble metal. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,382. It's trading above that as of 9 a.m. this morning. The SPDR gold shares, big move yesterday, dropping 2.43 metric tons. Taking profits as they were for their investors, as they should. SPDR gold shares, 1295.30 metric tons, valued on State Street at $57.7 billion. We'll be right back.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HeartDrop.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, December the 9th, 2010, two-hour broadcast with all the computers up and running now. Right here of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday. How does he do it, folks? How does he do it? Right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, OracleBroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news. Lots of that today. Hard facts, certainly. And we might even advance a solution or two, but you know that what my solution is, so we don't need to go there right away. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, however, you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. Again, our market report for this morning out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, that's an hour ago, finds gold up $6.20 an ounce at $1,387.50, recovering from the big sell-offs earlier in the week. A lot of profit-taking going on, a lot of angst and anxiousness about everything global. But anyway, $1,387.50 at 9 o'clock a.m. this morning. Silver up 30 cents at $28.66. Platinum up 7 at $16.86, and palladium up 17 at $741 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market again, $1,379.90 for a low, $1,393.80 for a high, and your gold is up $279.70 year to year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 13 yesterday at 11,373. The NASDAQ closed up 11 at 2609. The S&P 500 closed up 5 at 1228. Crude oil this morning up 52 cents at $88.80 a barrel. Lots of buzz out there on the internet about $100 crude. It could go higher. It will likely go higher, but some say not before about June or so of next year. The U.S. dollar index this morning up 15 basis points, strong at 80.14. Of course, that impacts your foreign exchange rates, where we find the Canadian loonie this morning up 20 basis points at 99 cents U.S. The Mexican peso still at 8 cents U.S. Your multiplier, if you happen to be going to Cancun, catch the last of the can, the con, the coon down there with the UN people. Well, you're going to pay 8 cents a pop for those Mexican pesos, but your multiplier is 12.3908 pesos per dollar. You can take that up with Carlos Slim. The euro this morning off 13 basis points at $1.33. The British pound exchanges against the U.S. dollar at $1.58. The Swiss franc at $1.01. The bond market this morning, you know, we heard the other day on CBS when Benjamin Shalom, I love Israel, Bernanke said, well, we can change the interest rates in 15 minutes. They did. The yield on the two-year treasury, the U.S. bonded indebtedness, the two-year, this morning, 0.60%. Wow. Big jump in the two-year yield. Of course, you know, if you got the $600 billion, you want to loan it into existence, and then you're willing to buy it back at interest, Of course, the Federal Reserve would raise the interest. After all, they got to line their own pockets, the shysters, right? Two-year yield, 0.60. The 10-year at 3.20. And the 30-year bumps up to 4.40. How would you like that? Not only can you dictate how much money they'll have to loan you, but what the interest rate will be. What a deal. What a deal for Benny. Benny and the boys. The mortgage rates this morning impacted by that. 15-year fixed rate mortgages move up from 3.61% a month ago to 4.25%. I thought they were trying to sell those foreclosed homes, not block the buyers from buying them. Anyway, bumping up there to 4.25% for our preferred mortgage this morning, the 15-year fixed rate. The 30-year, all right, moves up from 4.20 to 4.91%. Closing in on 5% in the 30-year fixed mortgage market. Of course, there will be those out there that have been hustled into an adjustable rate mortgage. If you heard Benjamin Shalom Bernanke, as I did, on CBS saying that they could change the interest rates in 15 minutes, would you actually sign your name to a fixed or an adjustable rate mortgage? I wouldn't. I hope you won't either. The prime rate stands at 3.25% this morning, and the gold and silver ratio is 48.43 ounces of silver. Get you 1 ounce of gold. Might also get you a kiss and a hug if you go to the right place. Let's go to the historical aspect of gold and silver. Haven't spoken of this in a long time. Silver in 1999, the gold fix, the London gold fix, shown off the Kitco's early website, shows that we could have, in 1999, we could have been picking up our silver now for $5.10. Looks like the average throughout the year there, about $5.10, maybe $5.30 an ounce this morning. It's at $28.66 an ounce. Don't think that's a good investment? Well, let's jump over to gold and take a look at this. About the time that I started becoming aware of gold and silver as something that someone would maybe want to preserve their wealth by getting out of CDs that were at that time at about 5% and 6%, coming down from 10% return on your investment in a CD down into the 4%, 5%, 6% range, it was looking worse and worse. Trying to roll your CDs over just didn't seem to make any sense. But in 1999, you could buy an ounce of gold, and some did, for $275. Some people were buying gold at $273, some at $274, but throughout 1999, in May anyway, those were the spot prices that you could look at. $274 this morning is $1,387.50. I think that was some pretty good advice that we were given back then by Jim and Melody Cederstrom to encourage you to call Discount Gold and Silver Trading and some of the other brokers that were out there and protect your wealth. I think it was pretty good advice myself. I really enjoy this. Anyway, here, let's go into the economic calendar for jobless claims. Not looking any better here. New claims level, 421,000. The consensus was 370 to 435. The consensus they thought they were going to get was 425, came in a little below that. Here's the report off of EconoDay. Initial jobless claims moved back lower in the December 4th week to 421,000 versus the prior week's 438,000, which was revised from 436. Now, didn't I tell you that last week? All right. You got to watch these numbers. They bumped it up another 2,000 here to 438 from 436. I wonder what they'll tell us next week about this number, 421,000 this morning. Maybe it'll come in at the 425 range. Maybe they made a 5,000 claims error. Well, we'll have to wait. We'll find out, though. Figures scarcely rely, but the liars certainly do figure. The four-week average, which smooths out the weekly bumps, fell 4,000 to 427,500. Not really much to report on that. Let's go into this one. We weren't able to get this. It came out after the broadcast yesterday, but the petroleum status report was out. Ramped up production made for a big draw in oil inventories and big builds in the petroleum products. Oil inventories fell 3.8 million barrels in December third week to 355.7 million barrels of gasoline. Gasoline inventories rose 3.8 million barrels, while distillate inventories rose 2.2. I don't know what the distillate inventories are specifically, so I can't talk on that. I'll get that information and try and add it into our discussion. But refineries operated at 87.5% of capacity. So they're 13 points off of full capacity. They're basically just kind of holding back, niggling it out to us, up nearly 5 percentage points from the prior week. But remember also the prior weeks going backwards. This is the time of year when they go in and they revamp and they repair and they make their improvements. And they also have to change their blends in this country. We keep putting all of these weird things in the gasoline that makes your car run poorly. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEEDS. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So if the United Nations got a nope in Hagen, a nope in Copenhagen, well, they're getting the can of the con down in Cancun. Climate pack unrealistic, the former U.S. officials say. This article off Bloomberg this morning, Kim Chipman, New News. A single legally binding global climate treaty is impossible to craft, and the United Nations should give up trying, focusing instead on measures to reduce global warming. Former U.S. climate negotiator said, quote, it's completely unrealistic to keep talking about a single overarching treaty at least for the next 15 or 20 years, said Tim Wirth, a lead U.S. negotiator at the Kyoto Climate Conference in 1997. He said that in an interview in Cancun, Mexico, where 193 countries are debating a new accord to cut global greenhouse gas emissions. Talks in Cancun remain stuck on the same raft of issues that killed negotiations last year in Copenhagen, where countries scrapped the UN deadline for a new treaty. Instead, major emitters, including the U.S. and China, forged a political accord aimed at curbing greenhouse gases by 2020. Expectations for a new treaty out of Copenhagen doomed the summit to be perceived as a failure, according to Eileen Klassen, who worked on the UN climate talks under U.S. President Bill Clinton. All right. Eileen Klassen is also the Pew Center on Global Climate Change president. All right. Eileen Klassen, put her on your radar screen. The same risk exists now as negotiators try to lay the groundwork for a climate deal. Quote, we have to put aside this idea that we'll have this one magical treaty, said Klassen. Probably pained her to have to say that. Now president of the Pew Center on Global Climate Change, quote, that's not going to happen for some time, and people really need to start communicating and understanding that reality. All right? So we understand here on Become Vocal Local that as globalism transitions from global to local, we need to be prepared to act locally to block the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, our cities, our counties, and our states. Been warning you about this. This is the place to take action. Your big solution. Build your local voting precinct group. Get other people around you, like-minded. Sit down and share the information that you've heard here on Become Vocal Local over these past several years. Share this information with other people. The whole purpose of my coming on the radio was understanding that out of the 3,066 counties all across America, no, even though I was invited to do so, I cannot travel to all of the counties in this country and give talks. There's far too much to this story. That's an ever-ending story. There is no period at the end of this sentence, all right? So we need to work locally to block this stuff, and we can, be effective at that. But you've got to get the black and white, as Hal Anthony says, in your eyes, and understand where these treaties can be found, where the documents can be found, and then go and speak truth to power, take a seat at the table, stop standing outside with a sign and a bullhorn, and actually make a difference right where you are. You can do that. Cigarettes. Molly Peterson writing for Bloomberg. Cigarettes harm smokers' health from the first puffs, the Surgeon General reports. Talk about puff and smoke. Here's a piece. Smoking causes immediate lung and DNA damage that may lead to eventual illness and death. My God, I think we could say that about birth, doesn't it? From your very first breath of air, take out your birth certificate. Look down on the bottom. You have a warranty statement there? Pop it over on the backside. You got a guarantee? No. You get out of life, what you put into life. U.S. Surgeon General Regina Benjamin said, new research shows that chemicals in cigarettes can harm the body from the moment they enter your mouth. Honey, how about thimerosal? How about fluoride? The chlorine out of my water, you know? Depleted uranium. Genetically modified food substances. Oh, my God. These people are something else. By attacking tissue as smoke travels to the lungs, Benjamin said in a report. Honest to God, folks, I think that cigarettes and coffee keep me healthy. I haven't been sick in 20 years. Smoking weakens the immune system's ability to prevent damaged DNA from causing cancer. We know better than that. the FDA causes more cancer than the tobacco ever has. Benjamin's findings are the first Surgeon General's report issued under the usurper's administration. The document expands the scientific understanding of how tobacco smoke causes illness. I hope we're not funding this. They've been using this same tired claptrap ever since the 70s. By learning how tobacco smoke causes disease, we learn about how chemicals harm cells, how genes may make us susceptible, and how tobacco users become addicted to nicotine. What about alcohol, Broad? Oh, my. This one really ticks me off. Anyway, let's jump over here and look at this. Solar wind companies say jobs will be lost if U.S. grants aid. What do we talk about? We talk about with sustainable development. It always requires you, the taxpayer, you, the ratepayer, the utility ratepayer, you, the gasoline buyer, to subsidize all of Don Quixote's wind projects, you know? Solar wind companies say jobs will be lost if U.S. grants end. Obviously, they're not sustainable. They're not self-reliant. If it wasn't for tax dollars, grants, and aid, these companies couldn't exist. So, like we say, if they're that big, they need to fail. Jobs will be cut in the solar and wind industries unless a U.S. tax grant program that companies have relied on is extended, renewable energy advocates said. Jobs will be cut in the solar and the wind industries unless more taxes are thrown at it. Maybe it tells you that that's not the right idea. What about a clean, green nuclear reactor somewhere in the vicinity of me, please, soon? Retention of the 1603 program, which gives developers grants equal to one-third of a project's value, wasn't included in the tax package negotiated by Barry the Usurper and the Republicans in Congress. The program, now scheduled, or scheduled, we should say, to expire on December the 31st, was added to last year's Stimulus Act to help companies unable to get financing during the financial crisis. This is a little bit of voodoo, hoodoo, heathens here. The 1603 program, you can apply for these grants, and then you can turn around and sell the grants to somebody that's got a big tax burden. They'll chip you up a little bucks, and you can go out and build a windmill. Well, that's that. Let's go over here. The EPA is still not helping us out. The EPA says here, come on. The EPA delays the U.S. clean air regulation until July to seek scientific review. This new news by Jim Snyder, U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, that's also the EPA, is delaying until July tougher clean air rules that are opposed by businesses led by the National Association of Manufacturers. That's kind of a good thing. Give them a little bit of a breather. EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson set plans to seek additional information from a group of advisors to ensure the decision is grounded in the best science. We call that best practices in the Agenda 21 dialectic, said Brendan Gilfinian, an agency spokesman, in an email. EPA proposed in January restrictions on ground-level ozone. Well, God, they come up with something different every day, don't they? Crude oil futures, done their article here, tumble after unexpected increase in U.S. fuel supplies. They didn't realize it, but oh my God, all of a sudden they had more fuel than they knew, right? I guess nobody's watching them fill up the tanks. Mark Shank writing for Bloomberg, crude oil tumbled after an Energy Department report showed the unexpected increases in inventories of gasoline and distillate. Unbelievable. Talked about OPEC yesterday. They're all completely down on this idea of $100 oil. They have no intention whatsoever to shut off the tap. You know, they just keep going. Oil slipped 0.5% after the department said gasoline supplies rose 3.81 million barrels. I mean, how can that be unexpected? Buddy, I'm putting my olive oil barrel out in the front yard. Maybe it'll be overflowing in the morning. Maybe I'll have wheat in there too, packed down, pressed, and overflowing. Anyway, they were forecast to fall 300,000 barrels. Well, say, unexpectedly, they found 3.8 million barrels they didn't know they had. Well, we'll be right back.
The home of cutting edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yeah. Top of the morning to you all. Ex-Goldman Sachs programmers. Expert witness says trading codes on the website. Well, it's up on the web, I guess. Patricia Hurtado. Hurtado. I wonder if she, how badly she hurt Hurtado. But anyway, she writes this for Bloomberg. Computer source code former Goldman Sachs Group Inc. programmer Sergey Alenikov, is accused of stealing. Can be found on the internet. You can go find the computer source code right there. An expert witness said on the last day of Alenikov's trial before closing arguments start tomorrow. Goldman Sachs. I wonder what kind of a visa he was on, obviously. Russian, probably. Benjamin Goldberg, an associate professor of computer science at New York University and the only witness for the defense, said he compared the high-frequency trading code, which Goldman Sachs and prosecutors say was proprietary. That's the high-frequency trading code. That's how they front-run everything from your U.S. bond trading and everything else, right? Which they make profit on that, you know. Benjamin Shalom Bernanke goes over and buys his bonds, not from the Treasury. He buys them from Goldman Sachs. And then they put a little bit of a front run on that, and then they profit on every purchase the Fed makes. At least that's the word that I got from the little birdie on my shoulder. They were either the same or Goldman Sachs was slightly modified. He said none of the code he found on Alenikov's computers was proprietary. He told a federal jury in Manhattan, The material he had downloaded or obtained from Goldman Sachs computers contained lots of open-source software. Olenikov was arrested in July of 2009 and charged with stealing portions of the code from Goldman Sachs on his last day of work. Big deal. Think of all the stuff that Goldman Sachs has stolen from us. When are they going to get Lloyd Blank fined? I keep waiting for that puke to ride out in a yellow, or what do they call them, an orange jumpsuit? That would be the day. Boy, I'll frame those pictures and put them on the wall. But, you know, it's not just Goldman Sachs. The majority of Americans say federal government, or the Fed, that would be the Federal Reserve Banking Bunch, should be reined in or abolished, a poll shows. All right? Kind of blew that headline, but it goes this way. Joshua Zumbrun, writing for Bloomberg. Who knew? The majority of Americans are dissatisfied with the nation's independent central bank, saying the U.S. Federal Reserve should either be brought under tighter political control or abolished outright, a poll shows. The Bloomberg National Poll underlines the extent to which the central bank's standing has suffered as it come under fire in Congress, first from Democrats for regulatory lapses before the financial crisis, and then from Republicans for failing to revive an economy in which the jobless rate hovers near 10%. Voters from both parties have criticized the Fed's $3.3 trillion in aid to the financial system. Yeah, that's right. People not too happy with the Fed. All the respondents to the poll. I got a pollster called me the other day, yesterday, and tried to entertain me in a discussion. And then they were trying to bribe my opinion with a $100 gift certificate if I would just answer those questions. I told them, bye-bye. See ya. Don't want to talk to you. $1 trillion measure to freeze government spending passed by the U.S. House. Brian Fehler writing this for Bloomberg. A $1.1 trillion measure to freeze spending on most government programs at current levels was approved by the House as lawmakers push to complete work on a stack of overdue appropriations bills. You might read this article and see if your golden calf has gotten gored here, but the bill approved 212 to 206 yesterday would cut billions from Barry the Usurper's defense budget. Don't expect that'll recall any of the fighter jets given to Israel. Freeze the pay of non-military government employees, well, it raises the pay for military government employees, no doubt, and gives the Interior Department more time to consider potential environmental effects of proposed oil and gas drilling permits. In other words, they're pushing it out further, slowing down the process, and allowing OPEC to rape us even more severely on the cost of oil. It also includes an additional $159 billion in emergency funding for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. I thought Barry said he was going to bring home the troops and stop the wars. Well, I guess he's just like Pinocchio. His nose just grows and grows and grows with every lie he tells. The measure would cut $46 billion, or about 4%, from the White House budget. That's not nearly enough. The request for the fiscal year that began on October the 1st, lawmakers attached an unrelated food safety measure. You heard about that. That cleared the Senate last month. That's 501. Before being tripped up by constitutional concerns because it includes revenue provisions that must originate in the House. In the vote on the bill, 35 opposed it while no Republicans supported it. House Appropriations Committee Chairman David Obi-Wan Kenobi, a Wisconsin Democrat, said the measure would make adjustments that just might ease the financial desperation facing so many families today. Well, nonsense. It's a bunch of claptrap. The U.S. approves a bill to grant legal status to some immigrants. You've heard about the DREAM Act. Well, here's a little bit more from that. Laura Litvan writing, the U.S. House passed a measure that would grant legal status to some younger illegal immigrants. A Senate vote loomed today that is likely to block the bill in the Congress's lame duck session, so don't look for it to pass. In today's Senate vote, the measure will need at least 60 votes to advance in the chamber, where Democrats control 58 votes, blah, blah, blah. Senate Republicans said last week they'd block this bill and others in the lame duck session until the Senate extends the Bush-era tax cuts due to expire and passes a budget for the fiscal year. We want to see the Capitol reports. We're not interested in budgets. All they do is put down, you know, guesses, maybes, and then they come back and ask for more and more and more on top of it. The budget doesn't mean anything. The immigration legislation called the DREAM Act would allow people who came to the United States illegally before age 16 and remained for at least 5 years to gain legal residency after going to college or serving in the military. You see how Caesar does that? All right? Leaves the border wide open, and then he hands out the GI Bill, dangles the GI Bill in front of these young illegal aliens and encourages them to go and serve in the military and fight in foreign wars, and if they survive and come home intact with their eyes and their limbs attached, and they're not body running full of cancerous depleted uranium, if they can come back, well, then they can go to school. Not to say that there's going to be any jobs, but they'll park them for 4 years in a college, and then that just helps academia. So you can see who's behind all this DREAM Act. I can see what we're right off the bat. We're talking about the military-industrial institution here and the education, right? That's all it is. Bunch of crap. Economic boost. Supporters touted the measure as a narrowly tailored adjustment in the immigration law that will help boost the U.S. economy by unleashing some educated, ambitious young Americans. Young Americans? I thought we said they were illegal aliens, all right? Doesn't work that way. One little bit more here. Baucus is selected by the Republicans as the Wall Street overseer. A Wall Street overseer. Got a lot of confidence in this. Phil Mattingly writes, U.S. Representative Spencer Baucus has been selected by the House Republicans over, I might add, Representative Ron Paul, to become the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee when his party takes power next month. The Alabama lawmaker, who has been the panel's top minority member since 2007, obviously he's of no value whatsoever. He stood by and did nothing as the whole House of Cards burnt up, was chosen during a closed-door conference meeting in Washington today. He'll replace Representative Barney Frank, the Massachusetts Democrat, who led the committee during the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression and spearheaded the regulatory overhaul that bears his name. They did throw some softer on Paul, and he has a minor subcommittee chairmanship. Anyway, with all of that being said, let's go back over here and make sure that I've got this guy opening because it's big. All right, so we've been talking a little bit about the Commerce Clause. I want to go into that some more today from other sources. Yesterday we were looking at the principles of economics. It says Gemmell, Balsley, Heath, it's the principles of economics. This was college level, actually, economics textbook published. It's probably high school, college, maybe senior high school, junior senior high school, or first or second year economics students, published back in 1953. I like to get my stuff from older sources if possible, because it sometimes has been spared at least some of the whitewash. But we were right at this place where we left off yesterday, talking about Interstate Commerce Commission, and we need to go into the Interstate Commerce Act in greater detail to understand even that which has just happened to us. Under the color of commerce, the health care bill, Obama's health care bill. So again, they were talking about rebates yesterday, and if you go back and listen to the archive for yesterday's broadcast, you can figure out right where I picked up here. But the practices delineated above, namely discriminatory rates, pooling, and rebating, were strongly opposed by the so-called Granger movement. We talked about that yesterday, populist movement, consistently created of Midwest farmers in the states of Illinois, Minnesota, Indiana, Iowa, and Wisconsin. This is a lobby, okay? This is our agricultural lobby pushing this movement together. These are all people who belong to the lodges of a national organization, the Patrons of Husbandry. Pick it up right there, right after this.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name.
I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
And so expanding our discussion of the Interstate Commerce Commission, and all of this, the Interstate Commerce Act, etc. Again, starting from this level of the patrons of husbandry, the Granger movement, we're talking about the westward expansion of the railroads, etc. And we're going to go back in and recover this and cover it fairly in much in depth over the next couple of days. So do follow along here as we go. But what we find here is a series of Supreme Court decisions, popularly known as the Granger cases. And, of course, this comes out of a discussion that we've begun earlier in legal positivism, looking at Seebach's book. And from, you know, earlier and earlier, as you'll notice, these broadcasts tend to have a build of one upon the next. So we're like laying out part by part by part by part, piece by piece of a very, very long story. Now, before we go there, let's go to the phones today and go to our caller, which should be 10K Puddles, and say good morning.
Good morning, Will. How are you?
Excellent. How about yourself?
Oh, not bad. Just living life here. But since we're starting out on this interstate commerce, I thought maybe you'd be interested in starting out of the Black's Law Dictionary, 3rd edition, and looking at the definitions of this.
Well, go ahead.
Okay, interstate commerce. Traffic, intercourse, commercial trading, or the transportation of persons or property between or among the several states of the Union, or from or between points in one state and points in another state, commerce between two states or between places lying in the different states. And then it goes on to list a bunch of different case laws that it cites.
And
then we have the interstate commerce.
And which one of the Black's Law dictionaries is this one?
Third edition.
Okay, Black's third. Okay, go ahead.
And then for the next article, we have Interstate Commerce Act. the Act of Congress of February 4th, 1887, designed to regulate commerce between the states and particularly the transportation of persons or, and property by carriers between interstate points, prescribing that charges for such transportation shall be reasonable and just, prohibiting unjust discrimination, rebates, drawbacks, preferences, pooling of freights, etc., requiring schedules of rates to be published, establishing a commission to carry out the measures enacted, and prescribing the powers and duties of such commission and the procedure before it.
Okay, so in this, then, what we're hearing is the foundation of these acts. But if the audience is listening carefully, even the things that we talked about yesterday, this rebate system, of course, cutting down the profits of the railroad companies, stimulating railroads to charge higher rates to the farmers and the other shippers, where the railroads had this monopolistic control. We're also talking about pooling. We can find that in what is happening, you know, right now with the MERS system, the idea, this drive to create a greater regulatory control over the Federal Reserve and the banks and the bankers themselves, Wall Street. All of this is like a 100-year-old redo or a redux, as they say, of what happened at the expansion of industrial America versus us now going into this continuing service economy in the 21st century. So much of history repeats itself that I thought it was important to draw this distinction so that we could understand. And, of course, then we find it also being used by Nancy Pelosi on the floor in regard to the one congressman's query that they have when he was challenging the constitutionality of this by referring and putting it under this specious blanket of the Commerce Act. So, absolutely, yeah, good stuff from Black's Law Dictionary. And the Black's Third is one of the ones, Jason, that I really long to have. So if you ever find another one, let me know, because I'd certainly be interested in adding that to my collection. So many times in the history of the Black's Law Dictionary, I don't know about Bouvier's, but in Black's for sure, each subsequent edition, they'll add and they'll take away from the material that's in Black's as law changes. And so when a young person is attending law school in America, they really don't go to the Webster Dictionary to find the meanings and senses of words. They look to the Black's Law Dictionary and get the definitions of legal terms, and that's a big difference.
Yes, you're correct. And I think you termed this phenomenon before the legalese language of the law.
Well, there is a lot of that, but it's the language of the law. It's the logical positivist syntacticians crafting the words and the art of law that then bring us into this new legal order. So we have a new economic order, we have a new legal order, which we spoke of yesterday, with the creation of the American Bankers Association, as I stated, almost immediately followed by the creation of the American Bar Association, shortly thereafter followed by the creation of the Uniform Law Commission, which then led to the creation of the bill drafting agencies in all of the several states, which got us into a position where they could get their juicy diadem, the Uniform Commercial Code, which we live under today. But any other points from the text?
Well, yes. Then we move into, after the act, we move into a commission, and it's the Interstate Commerce Commission, and it was a commission created by the Interstate Commerce Act to carry out the measures therein enacted, composed of five persons appointed by the president, empowered to inquire into the business of the carriers affected, to enforce the law, to receive, investigate, and determine complaints made to them of any violation of the act, make annual reports, and hold stated sessions, and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so there again, you know, we look at this credit mobilier, and you brought out Credit Foncier yesterday as well. But credit mobilier, here we had in America, we had a huge scheme going down, just as we have right now, you know, with the bailouts or the bankers. But we had this huge scheme going as we created the railroads, the roads, and the companies and the and also the coasting trade here in this country. But we're congressmen, you know, we're on the take, they're on the dole. So once again, then everybody clamors and shouts, you know, all the farmers get their bushels in a basket, you know, if we could say it that way. And as a result, they're the lobby, they're the strong lobby, and they're in there championing for Congress. Oh, save us, government, oh, save us. And so government, you know, on the dole, on the take, and composed of lawyers and composed of the captains of finance and industry anyway in the Senate, they say, okay, we'll create a commission to look into this horrible trepidude. And then what do? They turn it around and then they appoint. It's not a citizen body, but they appoint those members that will sit there. Now, for a little while, and this happened with the Interstate Commerce Commission, for a little while, they were talking about rates, and they were talking about this and talking about that, and everything settled down. The media came in, did the smooth and the gloss over, and then once they had gotten the media attention and a couple of the major points ironed out, then, like I said yesterday, they bring out the cigars, the brandy, they put their feet up on the desk, and it goes back, all things normal, system proceeds, and the corruption continues. And so that's the direction I want to go with this discussion over the next couple of days, and I thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Okay. Well, have a good day.
You too. Bye for now. Okay, so that's where we're going with this. So you've got this Interstate Commerce Act, and generally for the following. One, it was the creation of an Interstate Commerce Commission, as we've heard right out of the Black's Law Dictionary, of five members charged with the administration of the law and with the power to hear complaints, subpoena witnesses, and make decisions under the provisions of the Act as listed below, and such decisions could be prosecuted in federal courts. All right? But, of course, they were appointed by the president. Just as we now have, you know, Boehner out there making the appointments for this oversight committee of the Fed. Great. We should expect a lot of change coming from this. The Act provided that rates must be just and reasonable. What is just and what is reasonable? Well, OPEC said yesterday in the news article that $75 to $100 oil is both just and reasonable. Of course, you don't have any input in that. Wouldn't be just and reasonable to you. You'd have to pay $3, $4, $5 a gallon for gasoline as you go about looking for a job. All right? Discriminatory rates, rebates, and pooling were prohibited. All right, so, you know, they got the proprietary source code, got it all from Goldman. They're not going to do any front-running, ha-ha, nod-nod, wink-wink, because they line up the servers. Won't have any more of that nanosecond front-running. Believe that. Anyway, again, this idea of discriminatory rates, I'm talking about that, you know, keeping the interest rates artificially low, keeps people from investing, and all that. Well, we'll pick it up. I hear the music. We'll be right back after the top of the hour break for hour number two. Stay tuned.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, December the 9th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, in the first hour of the broadcast. Went into a little bit of historical background on some of the gold and silver prices from the 1990s forward. Also talked about some of the news that's up on the news today. And then began coming back into our topic of discussion for this week and perhaps even into next week. I don't know how many parts in a row this series is going to run, but it's going to run for a little while because it's so very, very, very important for us to understand all of this as we come into commerce, interstate and intrastate commerce. Right, and so anyway, we started out a little bit here, just giving down some of the basics and covering some of the ground from last broadcast yesterday on the Interstate Commerce Act, where I'm going to continue the enforcement of that act, was far from successful at first. The chief weakness of the act was that the decisions of the Interstate Commerce Commission were not final or compulsory, but could only be enforced through court action. Of course, this is where we started this study, looking at legal positivism and the writings of Anthony C. Bach and others. And we're going to continue on this for a few days. We might even go back and revisit with legal positivism, logical positivism, and the writings of Auguste Comte, his system of positive polity and positive philosophy. But continuing here again, it was all dependent upon court action. And much was happening in the courts at this time. Again, the home of philosophical radicalism, the 1850s, the time period. Coming into the War of Northern Aggression, coming into the codification and making statutory of the Common Law of England with Jeremy Bentham, the Panopticon, John Austin, and others. So the attitude of the courts was not friendly to the act, and railroad officials blocked its enforcement wherever they could. Underline that, highlight it. Railroad officials blocked its enforcement wherever they could. And the courts were not friendly to the act. We heard that story the other day. Can't recall whether it was Soros or whether it was Rupert Murdoch buying up, setting up funds to buy up, make sure that they get the judges that they need all across America. All right? Not friendly to the act. As a result, two amendatory acts were passed, the Elkins Act of 1903 and the Hepburn Act of 1906. So now we've got these parallel threads running where law and opinion, the cross currents of a public opinion, law and legislation are shaping economy during the period of westward expansion and industrialization of this country and coming into the First Worldwide War. The Elkins Act delineated more carefully the prohibitions of rebates and established the guilt of both giver and receivers of rebates. The Hepburn and these rebates, you know, again, Crédit Mobilier of the U.S. Started this last week with Vicki Davis in conversation here on the broadcast. The Hepburn Act of 1906 enlarged the scope of the Interstate Commerce Act to include express companies, sleeping car companies, pipelines, and other facilities allied to railroad operations. We hear about over in China extending the railroads, getting up into Tibet and things. Much the same will be happening in China as happened here 100 years ago. The Interstate Commerce Commission was given the power to fix rates, and its decisions concerning rates were made final, subject to court review only at the instigation of the railroads affected. And we're going to find out a lot more about this. The commission also were also given certain powers of supervision of the railroad operational methods. A Third Amendatory Act was passed in 1910, the Mann-Elkins Act. This act set up a special commerce court to hear railroad cases. Again, we're working out of an economics textbook published in 1953 by D.C. Heath. We'll continue with that on the other side. See how law, the new legal order, and the new economic order are all dovetailed together.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so, having returned once again right here on our December the 9th Thursday, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. Now in the second hour of today's broadcast, picking it up from the last segment of the previous hour and the first segment of this, on the discussion of interstate commerce, the Interstate Commerce Commission, the Interstate Commerce Act, and so on, as it impacts our lives today. The Interstate Commerce Act and its amendatory legislation may probably be considered as some sort of compromise between outright government ownership of commerce and the complete freedom on the part of private owners. Some sort of a compromise between outright government ownership of commerce. We see General Motors, AIG, the rest of the companies, GE, all of that bailout money that that the Fed pumped out around the world, all the various banks and McDonald's and, oh, I don't know, you name the company, they got a little bit on the take there. It was evident that the correction of abuses was absolutely essential. And since the carriers, again, we're talking about railroads here at this time, largely in this part, and since the carriers were unable to effect such correction themselves, in other words, there were captains of finance and industry, they were trying to gain monopolies for their corporations, as they ought, and the states were powerless to do so because of the system. This was all new, folks. This is all brand new stuff, all right? They didn't have railroads before this discussion. The railroads were coming on. They didn't have stagecoach routes. They didn't have the Pony Express. They didn't have the telegraph until this time period. This federal regulation left ownership and operation in private hands at the same time that it established supervision of the operation of the railroads and corrected, at least to a degree, the unfortunate abuses that had occurred. Okay? So that's enough on that. We'll come back to the Sherman Act and the Knight case and the others. I want to go over quickly to this a little bit. Excuse me. One of our listeners, Bill, certainly thank him for that, called in, I believe it was on Oracle Unleashed one evening, and brought to our attention the history of the Great American Fortunes by Myers, and has kindly and generously donated to my library from his a 19, let's see, what is the publishing date on this one? It was originally copyrighted 1907, so it's absolutely spot on top of our discussion. It was copyrighted renewed in 1936 and 1937, so it looks like I'm holding a 1937 edition here, published by the Modern Library, the Random House, Inc. Of course, the Modern Library is quite a system. We've referred on numerous occasions to the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences and others. Random House, we're talking about a variety of different publishers here. But all of these books are being published by the Modern Library is being created for the advancement or the expansion of what could be understood as humanism all across America. All right, this is the sort of stuff that the Council on National Policy is so afraid of, that you get this kind of information into the hands of the people, apparently, would do damage to the lockdown control of churchianity. Right? So they rail against Plato, and they don't want you to read Aristotle, and you know they want you to stick with the Bible, right? Well, if you want to, go ahead. But here, very interesting book, again, donated by Bill. Certainly appreciate it, received it, went to the post office yesterday and got it. Delightful, looks like it's going to be a fascinating resource. The Beginnings of the Vanderbilt Fortune, here on page 277, Monopoly and New Conditions. These were only some of the powers exercised during the decades when the railway magnates used autocratic methods, modified somewhat in later times by restraining orders of the Interstate Commerce Commission. Nevertheless, most of these magnates found full license to proceed with ever and ever increasing railroad capitalization. Now we're talking about Credit Mobilier and the Credit Foncier, brought out by Jason, calling yesterday. I'd never heard of Foncier before. Certainly have been teaching on Credit Mobilier for years. But nevertheless, most of these magnates, we can think of these as the captains of finance and industry. Again, we're in a section titled The Beginnings of the Vanderbilt Fortune. Much of this was watered and was based on the expectation that fast increasing population would bring in augmented revenues and enhance its value. From 1905 to 1930, the total outstanding railway capital in America was increased from $13.805 billion to more than $24 billion. Now, compare this with the expansion of the green energy movement, all of Don Quixote's windmills and all of the solar panels that are out there, and offshore wind leases and the National Ocean Council and all of that. All right, same sort of stuff, just 100 years different. The men controlling railways were sure that they were long sure that they had a perpetual monopoly of transportation. And you've got to add into this transportation communication. Again, because, you know, Reuters, we read in a Reuters article, Rothschild acquired Reuters, bought it up. But Reuters had a novel idea with the advent of the telegraph, that the telegraph would give you an opportunity to build a news service where you could bring with agents in the primary capitals of the world and the primary financial centers of the world, you could gather the news together as quickly as electricity could get it there over the telegraph, and we would have built in the 1900s, much the same as what Bloomberg is today. Almost instantaneous access to the financial information and that sort of news. Had something like that been in existence when the Rothschilds were financing both sides of the confrontation at Waterloo, the city of London's finances may have been secured, whether they had known that Napoleon had not been defeated, or what was it? Waterloo and it was Napoleon and what was the other character? Well, it was just not in my mind. I pulled it out of the side. Continuing, let's go on. The men controlling railways were long sure that they had a perpetual monopoly of transportation. Perhaps you could say that Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and Morgan Stanley and Wells Fargo and the sister banks that make up the Federal Reserve banking system and the international foreign banking system, maybe they're sitting there long sure that they had a perpetual monopoly on all things financial. Do they? They might. They were so accredited with great acumen and executive ability, they did not realize that a new kind of transportation was already making serious inroads into their domains. All right? So even though they were cocksure in what they were doing, they had become so locked in, as we say here, where every time you lock in on one thing, inevitably you lock out something else. Goldman Sachs and the rest of them, perhaps they've gotten so locked in on their one program that they're not seeing other things that are coming up. All right? And in the case of the railroad tycoons, they didn't see the automobile, and the automobile was coming on them and at them, and they weren't able to stop the tide, and they lost a lot of their clout with the advent of the automobile, which they then monopolized to gain back.
I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
And so we'll part from one and go to the next and look at the history of the United States. This by Beard and Beard, another hardbound out of the library here. And this was published by the Macmillan Company back in 1948. Still kind of just going back and digging through the old text. A lot of information can be found on this particular topic. But this from Beard and Beard again, and they're, you know, pretty well-known historians. I think they're both a couple of socialists, but they may not have been. I might be too harsh on them. The protective tariff and the taxation, this on page 490, national growth and world politics, the issues of domestic policies from 1865 to 1897. So we're embracing this time period once again. The protective tariffs and taxations, fluctuations in tariff policy. Like the silver issue, the tariff tended to align the manufacturing East against the agricultural West and South. So this is really where we're at when we start talking about the war of Northern aggression, right? And it's continuous and reconstruction, right? It's the manufacturing East against the agricultural West and South. Yet on the whole, the Republicans, of course, that party was created out of this time period, stood squarely by the rates laid on foreign imports during the Civil War, they call it. Except for some reductions in 1872, which were soon offset by increases, the customs rate stood at about the same level for nearly 20 years. When a revision was made, it was undertaken by the Republicans, confronted by a huge surplus of revenue in the Treasury in 1883. A huge surplus of revenue in the Treasury in 1883, and today we're like trillions in debt. Wow. They modified the tariff a little bit on the theory that it ought to be reformed by its friends rather than by its enemies. On the other hand, it was the Republicans who also passed the McKinley Tariff Bill of 1890, which carried protection far above all previous levels. Oh, don't want to be protectionists. We don't want to have these tremendous surpluses. Oh, we want to be completely wide open and naked in a foxhole and allow the world free traders to walk over us. Although they usually voted against Republican measures, Democrats, on their part, were not all free traders or even advocates of tariff for revenue only. In Cleveland's free trade, see, now being used back in the 1950s as a way of describing the economic viewpoint of those back in the 1800s. In Cleveland's system, first administration, I'd be President Cleveland, for those who don't know, they did attack the protective system in the House where they had a majority, and in this they had the help of the president. The assault failed, for it was blocked by the Republicans in the Senate. So we hear all this, the same sort of stuff going on constantly. After the sweeping victory of 1892, the Democrats in the House again tried to bring down the tariff by the Wilson Bill of 1894, but they were checkmated by members of their own party in the upper chamber. In the end, they agreed to compromise, compromising principle for relationship once more, a compromise which was more protectionist than free trade. The Republicans taunted them with being babes in the woods. President Cleveland so disliked the bill, he refused to sign it, merely allowed it to become a law in the lapse of 10 days without his approval. You can check the Constitution for how that works. Income tax of 1894. All right, now we're right on top of a time period today. This could be off of Bloomberg. Supporters of tariff reform often join with their plans for reducing import duties. They propose a proposal for a tax on incomes. This is just coming on them now. Most of the great industries, they argued, were in the East. The protective tariff taxed consumers for the benefit of the Eastern manufacturers. In reality, it levied a tribute upon the rest of the country. As an offset, they therefore urged the federal government to lay a tax on large incomes. And they're looking at people that have over an income of over $250,000 a year. But, of course, in today's dollars, that's really a slap in the face of intellect. You know, they really should be looking at about $1.5 to $2 million or $5 million and up if they want to hurt the people that have all the deep pockets. And they don't. They're not going to get there. They're going to go into the middle class and damage us even worse. But continuing, as an offset, they urge the federal government to lay a tax on large incomes. That is, in effect, principally the rich people of the East who get the most benefits of the protective tariffs. We propose, said one of them, to place a part of the burden upon the accumulated wealth of the country instead of placing it all upon the consumption of the people. In this spirit, Congress, when it passed the Wilson Tariff Bill in 1894, put a tax upon all incomes of $4,000 a year or more. Now, that would be a very large amount. $4,000 a year in those days was something to be proud of. But the Democrats were not united as one man on this action, blah, blah, blah. Let's drop down. Railways and trusts. State regulation. A similar dissension over the railways and trusts also ran through both parties. With respect to the railways, the demand for government regulation, like the call for free silver, came chiefly from the West. There, farmers got control in state legislatures, and in the early 70s, particularly in Iowa, Wisconsin legislatures in the early 70s, particularly in Iowa, Wisconsin, and Illinois, and enacted drastic laws prescribing the maximum charges which companies could make for carrying freight and passengers. So this is right back to our other texts, right to our economic textbook. The Interstate Commerce Act of 1887. Taking the next logical step, farmers and businesses, businessmen, began to demand federal regulations to the interstate railway lines. In 1887, the pressure became so heavy that Congress enacted a law forbidding many abuses on the part of railways, such as making lower rates for one shipper than another and granting secret rebates of money to favored persons and granting secret rebates of money to favored persons and companies. Bailouts. At the same time, it created the Interstate Commerce Commission to enforce the new rules. Though a substantial beginning, the act did not settle the question of rate fixing or remove the railway question from politics. And then it continues into the Sherman Antitrust Law of the 1890s and others. So going from that book, let's go on to the next one and go back again to the encyclopedia or the dictionary here and look at these two again. The Commerce Clause. This is where we're focusing on. The Commerce Clause in the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3, which gives Congress the exclusive power to regulate commerce among the states with foreign nations and with the Indian tribes. And then it lists some cases. Dormant Commerce Clause, the constitutional principle that the Commerce Clause prevents state regulation of interstate commercial activity, even when Congress has not acted under its Commerce Clause power to regulate that activity. It creates a real brouhaha, but again, think about the health care bill. This was brought in, ostensibly, under the Commerce Clause. So, with that, we switch back over, and we're going to take a look here at the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences. Now, I've shared with you articles out of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences many times. I really value this set. This was donated to my library by a friend in Washington, and this is, again, a Macmillan publishing company, Macmillan Company publication, long time ago put out. This one was copyright in 1932 by the Macmillan Company, and the edition that I have is in 1937. Excuse me. This is a very interesting set, and I've shared with you in the past that this book was basically considered to have been written by Der Führer's professors. This book, this set of encyclopedias, was part of the instruction available at the Hochschule für Politik in Germany. We'll pick that up right after this. We will return.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. The home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, so back once again, and let's go into, I'm going to take a sidebar here and go to the American government from B.A. Hinsdale. Share with you also from this book. This is another of the old books in my library, copyright 1891. Always nice to have a book of this time period in a hardbound. But anyway, here we find in chapter 33, the executive departments, Article 2, we're talking about the Constitution. The creation of such departments assumed, the executive departments assumed, the first and the second clauses of Section 2, Article 2, quoted above, are the only clauses of the Constitution that mention executive departments. You know, we talk about the Administrative Procedures Act, and we've got all of this administrative law that's coming down. which in itself is a form of legal positivism. The clauses assume that they will be created and by implication confer power to create them. In fact, several such departments existed under the Confederation, the Articles of Confederation. The number, the names, and the function of these departments were wisely left to the discretion of Congress. Eight have been created at the time of this writing, 1895, contemporary with the articles that we're reading, by the way. Eight have been created, and their history and organization throw much light on the growth of the government and on the distribution of executive business. The heads of the executive departments receive the same salaries, $8,000 U.S. at the time. That's a lot of change. Department of State, and then it goes on. Department of Treasury, the Department of War, the Department of Justice, the Post Office Department, the Department of the Navy, the Department of the Interior, and the Department of the Agriculture are named, all of them here. Very interesting. Well, there's more we could go into this. I'd love to go into this discussion in 1895 here, talking about Abraham Lincoln, one of my favorite whipping boys of that time period. Few writers or public persons have understood the real power of the American executive. Practically, the president has the nation in his hand. He is the commander-in-chief of the Army and the Navy and has control of foreign affairs. He could at any time force Congress into a war with foreign powers. The complicated relations with foreign powers rendered this always easy. Continuing, the executive power is large because not defined in the Constitution. The real test has never come because the presidents have, down to the present, been conservative, or what might be called conscientious men, and have kept within a limited range. There is an unwritten law of usage that has come to regulate an average administration, but if a Napoleon ever became president, he could make the executive almost what he wished to make it. The war power of President Lincoln went to lengths which could scarcely be surpassed in despotic principles. President Lincoln had been practically a dictator. The scope of the power had never been really realized, and that the practical use of power, even by an ordinarily strong president, was greater than the books ever described. Just a little bit from 1895, from B.A. Hinsdale, Abraham Lincoln, a dictator. This, again, out of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences in regards to interstate commerce. Again, these articles are very, very excellent, you know, really good research. In this particular article, this section in this article, again, an encyclopedia article, was written by Felix Frankfurter. I don't know if you know who he is, but in our study of Deborah Bouchot's legal research and writing for the Paralegal, she made the comment that the dictionaries and the like magazine articles and news articles and encyclopedias articles, these are all secondary sources, and that when you're doing your legal research on a particular topic, you need to look at the case law and the statute. Those are primary sources. And so we're blessed here, in a way, to have this article written in this and preserved in this encyclopedia, written at the time by Felix Frankfurter. This little bit here is out of the Encyclopedia Americana. This is 1950s. Felix Frankfurter, American jurist, born in Vienna, Austria, on November the 15th of 1882. Okay, so he was alive during the time that he's writing about. He was brought to the United States in 1894, was graduated from the College of the City of New York in 1902 and 1906, from Harvard University Law School, in which he became a professor in 1914, an intimate friend and advisor of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He is regarded as one of the leading proponents of the New Deal and trained many of those who helped to frame the New Deal legislation. You know, we're dealing with the New Deal now. In 1932, he declined nomination to the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court. On January the 5th of 1939, President Roosevelt appointed him Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Though Austrian by birth and early education, he showed his loyalty to the institutions of his adopted country in the critical months preceding American entrance into the Second World War. On June the 18th of 1941, in an address at Radcliffe College, he took exception to the assertion that, quote, war never settles anything. He called this a, quote, paralyzing evasion of thought. Quote, The Civil War, he said, settled slavery. Quote, this war will settle the quality of your lives and your children's lives, and settle our lives, World Wars I and II most certainly did. But here, writing for the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences, the article Interstate Commerce, Felix Frankfurter says this, and it's lengthy, we won't get it all today. United States, Interstate Commerce, again, a Supreme Court justice writing, the relations of government to trade and transportation are sufficiently difficult in a unitary state. A unitary state, whether you're dealing with Denmark or Sweden or Switzerland or even, let's say, France or Spain, a unitary state. The complications of a federal state, whether that be the Soviet Union, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, or the United States in a federal state, accentuate the difficulties. I remember when our founders, when Thomas Paine was writing, he said ours was not a provincial government because they knew the magnitude, they knew the size, they knew the scale of a continental body that they were about to occupy. They knew that they would never be able to get away with a democracy. A democracy is a government that is established for a limited scope. It's a small area like Greece, the city-state, Athens, Rome, Sparta, etc. And so, because he knew it would not be a provincial, but a continental endeavor, he then became the father of republicanism and advocated for a constitutionally limited republican form of representative government, which we have. The complications of a federal state accentuate the difficulties. In the United States, these difficulties are implicit in the concise phraseology of Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 3 of the Constitution, that Congress shall have power to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. Very, very few words, but it has become the source of much contention. In the beginning, however, were not the words but the warm and lively issues which engendered them. It was not the words, but it was the warm and lively issues which engendered them. At the time of the writing, under the Articles of Confederation, etc., they were having a warm and lively debate, the issues, between the several states. Issues that would come down to, you know, mark and reprisal and bloodletting and so on and so forth. There was a lot of heated debate between the colonies that became the states. They weren't all just a bunch of palsy-walsies. The clause was conceived, remember, they all started as competing corporations. The clause was conceived as a means of composing, you know, you've lost your composure, composing the commercial rivalries among the states created by the Revolution, War for American Independence. Beginning in 1784, protective tariffs were enacted by New England and most of the middle states, the burden of which fell chiefly on the consuming states with a less flourishing foreign trade. So they were putting tariffs and burdens on each other. Again, this idea about the manufacturing East and the agricultural West and South. Continuing, additionally, tribute was exacted from the coasting trade. Now, this is new, coasting trade, big part of commerce, the coasting trade. Think about that. You think that the railroad was something else, think about the steamboats. Well, we'll find out more about it in a moment. Additional tribute was exacted from the coasting trade, notably by New York, through the imposition of a clearance fee. Madison drew a classic picture of New Jersey placed between Philadelphia and New York, likened to a cask tapped, in other words, at a bung on either end, at both ends, and North Carolina between Virginia and South Carolina to a patient bleeding at both arms. They weren't all just a bunch of pals, okay? This is what brought us into this idea of interstate commerce and the Interstate Commerce Acts. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Okay, so we're not looking at actually a really happy picture between the colonies, the states, at this time period, because they were having trouble with interstate and intrastate commerce, right? Which we're still dealing with today. Retaliatory measures invited attacks and reprisals, with the inevitable devastating consequences which experience with international trade feuds since the World War has made all too vividly clear. New Jersey and Delaware adopted a contrary expedient, the establishment of free ports. You've probably heard of Freeport in the Bahamas, right? And thereby weakened the resistance of the states as a whole to the discriminatory treatment accorded American shipping by Great Britain, France, and Spain. All the players. For the fledgling states, the Constitution and the Commerce Clause in particular were expected to afford relief and stability. That's how these little words got in there. The Congress shall have the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. The foreign nations being contemplated here are Great Britain, France, and Spain. Between the nation or the states, the several states, these are all the original states of the Union, all right? and with the Indian, capital I, tribes, capital T. Indian tribes, they had status. It's not like the lowercase W, white, and now the lowercase B, black, right? They used to be called Negro, they had a status, like in capital I, Indian, capital T, tribe. There were nations, peoples, tongues, tribes, creeds, etc. Continuously, from its adoption, the Commerce Clause has been the vehicle for settling dominant issues of national economy as well as of politics. So all of this hubbub and furor put on as a dog and pony show for the benefit of the public media and the people of the United States of America and around the world in regards to the passage of the Obamacare Act as a function of the Commerce Clause just completely is made obvious by this discussion that we have today. Continuously, again, from its adoption, the Commerce Clause has been the vehicle for settling dominant issues of national economy as well as of politics. The legal form which these problems have most persistently assumed reflects the historical basis for the grant of power to Congress. With increasing frequency, courts have been called upon to determine the scope of authority of the individual states over activities not isolated within the boundaries of a single state. Think of how few activities there may be that are bound within the boundaries of a single state, especially in this day and age. Now, I've placed this in the chat room early this morning. This is a Supreme Court case. The citation is in the chat room. I'll give it again slowly. The question first came before the Supreme Court in Gibbons versus Ogden. It's G-I-B-B-O-N-S, for those of you out there with your pens and pencils and paper taking notes. Gibbons, G-I-B-B-O-N-S, v. Ogden, O-G-D-E-N, O-G-D-E-N. Gibbons versus Ogden, just like it sounds. It's 22 U.S. 1. 22 U.S. 1. And you just punch that into a browser and it should come right up for you. 22 U.S. 1. And this was back in 1824. And speaking for the court, Chief Justice Marshall held invalid a New York law granting to Livingston and Fulton, those names ring a bell, the exclusive privilege of navigating the waters of that state by steamboat, and sustained the right of competitors to navigate between New York and New Jersey, now be interstate, under a coasting license, this is the coasting trade, sanctioned by an act of Congress of 1793. Now, steamboat was relatively new. The steam engine was going to be relatively new. All of the expansion of the railroads, relatively new. Competition between that which could be done with the steamboat up and down either the Mississippi River or any of our other inland rivers or along the coast. Now, it was quite a plum. Plummy? Quite the plum to be granted. Again, Chief Justice Marshall held invalid a New York law granting to Livingston and Fulton the exclusive privilege of navigating the waters of that state by steamboat and sustained the right of competitors to navigate between New York and New Jersey under a coasting license sanctioned by an act of Congress. They had a blinking monopoly on it. We don't care if you are crafty and a good mechanic, even if you can build a boat and put a steam engine together with the help of your blacksmith. Even if you can do that, you can't put your boat in the water and get involved in the coasting trade here unless your name happens to be Livingston or Fulton. The legal import, I don't want to skip this, in New York as well as in several other states which had granted similar monopolies, the number of steamboats in service greatly increased with an attendant sharp reduction in fares. And so once you break up the monopoly and allow the free market to work as opposed to free trade, then others rush into the business to fill up the void that would not be able to be handled by Livingston and Fulton, and the trade, or the fares, the rates for this shippage, this coasting trade, dramatically fell. The legal import of the decision is enveloped in considerable fog. Again, Felix Frankfurter, U.S. Supreme Court Justice, writing, looking back at the time of Chief Justice Marshall, all right? He says, the legal import of the decision is enveloped in considerable fog. You almost have to be in the back room to hear the deals going down. And it's exceedingly difficult in law to find out what the, you know, we know what the story is, but to find the story behind the story. Very difficult, especially if you didn't happen to be in the courtroom at the time. The case is voluminously cited for the broad doctrine that power over interstate commerce is confided by the Constitution exclusively to Congress. All right, so this is a very instrumental. Somebody talking about Obamacare should have been talking about Givens versus Ogden. We didn't hear that. And when he says that the case is voluminously cited, we go back and we study. Remember when we were doing Dillavue and Howard's business principles of business law, and we found out how important, you know, modern stare decisis is. This judge made law, the decisions of the court. How important that is. And we only do ourselves a disservice by not being aware of it. Right? Continuing. Let's see if there was anything more in this. The case is voluminously cited, so everybody cites the case. They build off of it. For the broad doctrine that power over interstate commerce is confided by the Constitution, and this is important, exclusively to Congress. This interpretation neglects the important ingredient relied on by counsel and court, or a conflict between state and federal statutes affecting the same subject. Nor did the decision, in the absence of control by Congress, deter states from granting monopolies of interstate ferriage, of land transportation, and of telegraphic communication. Again, all of these are brand new breaking technologies. It's like coming up with the internet and extending these fiber optic cables all over America, building up all of these hubs, communication hubs, the planetary skin in our own time. But this limitation merely expresses evanescent imagination. Keyword, evanescent imagination. Again, legal positivism coming in here. In 1866, Congress ended the grant of monopoly of railroad and telegraph service between states. 1866. We're going to continue with this discussion in the days tomorrow and perhaps next week as well, in the days ahead. We'll go into this deeper. This is lengthy. But again, this Givens versus Ogden, 22 U.S. 1, 1824, for those that want to look it up, 22 U.S. 1. March 2nd, 1824, the acts of the legislature of the state of New York granting to Robert R. Livingston and Robert Fulton the exclusive navigation of all the waters within the jurisdiction of that state with boats moved by fire or steam for a term of years are repugnant to that clause of the Constitution of the United States. That's all for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Hope you will be too. And until then,
good day. Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEEDS. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah!
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.